I don't know what you should do, Mike.
I think I'd rather take a bullet in the head.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
I don't know what to say. Felger
and Mass. The Beyond Dumb 2 to 6 show, yeah. Right?
Jackpot!
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Celtics, Cavs tonight. NBC Sports Boston at 8. Also here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Celts will be on 98.5 tonight starting at 8. The return of LeBron James, but not Isaiah Thomas and the Cavs. How do you feel about this game tonight? Just give me some general thoughts first.
Well, first of all, I'm pissed that Isaiah's not playing. Okay, like to me, you know, you looked at this game on the calendar. You knew it was going to be right around this time. Here they go. Here's Isaiah, and now he's going to sit out. So that part to me sucks. Okay, it does. It sucks. Now, beyond that, like, I don't think you can just look at the game and sort of put it all on Isaiah. There is a basketball element to this game, too, in that, you know, what you're fighting for in terms of the conference, how the Celtics have been playing lately. It hasn't been good lately. And so, you know, to me, they need the win, especially that Isaiah's out. Like, I look at the whole thing and say, open up a little bit of a gap here. You're 2 up in the loss column. You could be 3 if you win this game. Like, you know, this is a game, if you think you are who you are, you should beat Cleveland on your own floor.
I agree. Yeah, all the people say the game's not really going to matter. I'm like, then why do you people bother watching? For the dipsy-doo dunkaroo? Like, I don't get it. Like, the first thing you mentioned, the standings. Do you think Celtics-Cavaliers home court's going to matter in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Absolutely.
Call me nuts, but I'd like Game 7 to be in Boston. Right now, you are 2 games ahead of Cleveland in the loss column. Okay, it's 3.5 when the Celts have 5 games in hand, or they've played 5 more games, or I'm sorry, 3 more games in Cleveland.
They've played more games than everybody because of that stupid-ass London trip, but keep going.
So either way, the Cleveland's 2 behind you in the loss column. They win tonight, they're 1 behind, and they'll have those tiebreakers. The head-to-head's the first thing. So you'll be effectively tied with them if Cleveland wins tonight, and I don't know, I'm watching that all season long because I think you are an Eastern Conference finalist against Cleveland. It's going to be you and them. And this year, home court is going to matter. Last year, it didn't. And usually, LeBron and the Cavs, it doesn't matter. Miami, Cleveland, it didn't matter whether LeBron was 1 or 2. It didn't matter. This year, it's going to matter.
See, I'm not sure if it's going to matter, but I'll say this. Any shot you have, you got to have home court.
It's in that league, it starts with home court.
If Cleveland has home court, I don't think the Celtics can win. If they have home court, they get a shot.
Okay, so Cleveland's 2 games behind you. That's it. That's 1. Here's 2. You've beaten every good team in the league other than this one. You beat Golden State. You beat Houston. You beat Oklahoma City. You beat San Antonio. You've beaten all these teams. Two of the last 11 against this team or something? Like, you have trouble against the Cavaliers. At some point, don't you have to get over that hump and sort of establish what you are?
Sure.
So, I don't know. I think it's important on those levels. If they lose again tonight, you come out of the game and say, well, it's just, you know, you're still LeBron's bitch, and you'll always be until you beat him in the playoffs. But I don't know.
Well, if they lose and it's competitive, I don't think you can say you're still LeBron's bitch. I mean, if you know it's a close
game, sure you can.
Based on one night, if it's a competitive game, it looks like you're still going to be able to actually have a better series against them this time around. I think you can use this game as a measuring stick.
All I know is in the NBA and the NHL, there's at most a dozen nights, which is probably too many. Maybe like half a dozen. There's a half a dozen to a dozen nights that matter. And the rest is just filler. This is one of the games that matter.
Sure it is. Absolutely it is. You know, and they opened there this year, obviously. They lost the game. Like the whole thing. Like, I look at it, and now Isaiah's not playing on top of it, so they're not going to be at full throttle. You're on your floor. Like, Kyrie's hosting LeBron for the first time.
Come on.
You got to win the game.
Thank you.
You got to win the game. So, like, the Isaiah, you know, with Isaiah out, like, to me, he's a pregame story in a lot of ways. You know, they'll acknowledge that he's in the building, and then they toss the ball up, and we forget about Isaiah for the rest of the night. That's it. Isaiah's done. It's over. Then it's about the basketball. So I want to see them play well. I know they pulled out the Houston game. I still don't feel like they played great in that game. They got, you know, they played great to come back, but they looked like garbage at the beginning of the game. They got a couple of lucky calls at the end of it, if you ask me, like on top of it. So I want to see them at home, like, make a statement against a legit team. Make a statement.
Well, but it's a little
they've
unfair.
They've already done that. They've had statement wins. They
Golden
have Golden State.
Houston, yeah. OKC, San Antonio.
Yeah, but against this team. Against this team.
State won the title. That was their statement win so far.
Yeah, but
this season.
I want Kyrie to make a statement to LeBron.
Okay, so I think in terms of Boston v. Cleveland, they need a statement. That I agree with. In terms of to establish that they're one of the better teams in the league or one of the best teams, I think they've already done that.
See, but
they still have to get past Cleveland to get to the finals. And one, home court's going to be important, and it's going to be nip and tuck all season long. And two, it's, again, establishing who you are. You've got to establish something against Cleveland.
See, I don't feel the same way that you do about some of the other wins early in the year.
Of course not.
Curry missed the game here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he didn't. Curry was here. San Antonio was fully gunned that night.
No, Golden State.
San Antonio hasn't been fully gunned.
Kawhi Leonard missed that for sure. In fact, he missed the one in San Antonio on top.
Yes, correct. He did.
So I thought for some reason my recollection was that Curry didn't play.
Played and he sucked.
Yeah, that's right. He did suck. So Curry sucked in that game. So I can't give him credit.
Credit for that game, Mass. Would you stop?
But I would like to see. This is Cleveland. This is the conference. This is
fine.
I feel this is different. I do. I feel it's different.
On the Isaiah sidebar, where do you stand on this? And you know what? I didn't hammer this as much as I should have yesterday because it just didn't occur to me how patently ridiculous this is. But Isaiah's not going to play because he played last night. They were going to do the tribute video for him tonight, as they do with any returning player, any important returning player. And he requested of the team that they not do it because he's not playing and his family won't be there. And the team said okay.
Yeah, because they feel guilty about this because his nonstop chirping for 6 months. This drives me crazy. You were here 2.5 years, buddy. You don't get to dictate this when the video gets played. And you're certainly not going to get it to me. You shouldn't get it the next time you're here in February when it's Paul Pierce night.
Isn't it insane? So again, they push it off to February 11th, the next time Cleveland's here, which also happens to coincide with the night they're retiring Paul Pierce's jersey.
Let's celebrate a guy who did something. And then this guy. Hold on, Paul. Before we get to you, a guy who's actually accomplished something in a storied franchise, let's play this for a minute. All right, everyone. Isaiah Thomas. All right. Yay. Hey, what'd you do here? It was a cute little, neat little story for 2.5 years. All right. No. Oh, sorry, Paul. Guy who's accomplished something, actually won a ring. Probably should have had a second one there. But all right, now we'll get to you. Sorry we had to do that because we had to get to Isaiah Thomas. And here's the most, this is how you know this story's gone too far. When Mike Gorman, team broadcaster, the greenest of green, a guy who didn't really want to trade Tyler Zeller. He was on Toucher and Rich this morning. We'll get to some of the sound, as I understand. When Mike Gorman has had enough and he's fed up with the antics of Isaiah Thomas, you know it's gone too far.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Give me a little sound.
I'm kind of tired of Isaiah, to be honest with you. He was a great player in the time that he spent with us. Certainly had a year that is almost unmatched by anybody last year. But, you know, whether or not he ever speaks to Danny Ainge again, I don't care. I really don't care. I just want to see how he performs on the basketball court. And this has become, it's more like People Magazine. Is he going to talk to him? Will Danny respond to him? What will happen there? Do I get a tribute? Like, just go off into the sunset gracefully here, and we'll see you in the playoffs.
I was yelling in my apartment this morning. Listen, I was going, yeah, tell him, Mike. Yes. You know that it's gone too far with Isaiah Thomas. When Mike Gorman is saying that, you've reached the point of no return. You're a butthurt baby. Get over it. You drama queen. And I said it when you were out and I was on with Maz. Fine. Like, you want to get payback to Danny Ainge? Just do it on the floor. Do it with your game. And you should have done it tonight. I think it's a bummer, too, that he's not playing tonight. I think that would be a great story. If, you know, this ongoing thing, the hate that Isaiah Thomas has for Danny Ainge in this franchise now, because they passed on me. I was special. No, you weren't. You weren't. Do it with your game. Stop talking. It's so unbecoming.
I mean, I know we've said this in the past, but the drama that goes on in this league, and tonight you've got it all over the place.
But what's staggering to me is...
The Real Housewives of the Hub.
Thank you. It is.
It's holy crap.
Real Housewives of the NBA. But at least LeBron, Kyrie, championship elite players. Isaiah carries himself like this, and he's second tier.
Oh, don't forget Jay Crowder. He thinks he should be cheered. Oh, Crowder, add him to the list, too. Crowder, it's announced ahead of time. I think I should be cheered. We visited, you know, the visiting players in the past have been cheered. Gordon Hayward. That pissed me off.
Name dropping his replacement in Gordon Hayward. You guys cheered him before. How about you? You guys still love me, right?
Seriously. Tool bag city. Like, the NBA is like the tool capital of the world.
But, so back to Isaiah. The gall. The chutzpah. To say, don't run the video, because I'm not playing it. Well, I want it another night.
When you're not on the team anymore.
But again, the gall to dictate to another team when they get to pay their tribute to you, which they don't have to do in the first place. The gall to think that you can dictate when they will do it and then actually have the team do it is unbelievable on both ends. It's unbelievable on both ends to the point where, you know what? Isaiah's Isaiah. He is a diva and a drama queen, and you helped make him so, by the way. I'm not giving that up. You created this monster, folks, with your stupid MVP chant for that kid. So you created this monster. But that I expect this from Isaiah at this point. The team? Why do you have to bend over and kiss his ass like that?
Because I think that they feel a little bit guilty.
Well, let's get over it.
I agree.
It's your building. It's your game presentation. You determine when you run the video, not the opponent. This is the most crazy. This is, I don't know why this didn't occur to me sooner, but it's like, I got to look at the team and go, what's the matter with you? You don't let the opponents come in here and tell you, you let Kobe come in here and tell you what you can put on the scoreboard? Because that's what you're doing here. You let LeBron come in and tell you what you can put on your scoreboard and what you can't. You have your head examined.
I think they should just tweet the video.
Like, so what if Isaiah doesn't want it tonight? So what if his family's not there? Which, oh, by the way, what a baby that. You want your family there? Why, send them the video. What, you got to be there? What?
He loves the drama.
Oh, well, he didn't have enough time to plan. I mean, the NBA schedule came out in what, June, July?
But just think of it. Just think of it, you know. But these players in the NBA, man, it's crazy. So Isaiah acts like one of them, even though he doesn't deserve it. He acts like one of them. Got it. The team? The team is supposed to be the adult that says, no, actually, Isaiah, you're not employed by us anymore. We don't. You play for the other team. You don't get to dictate what's on our scoreboard. That's not the way that it works. It's just common sense.
Yeah, I'm telling you, on top of all of that, listen, you can go off on the team. They should have played it anyway, if you ask me. Beyond that, like this whole idea that he's not playing in the game pisses me off.
And what's
too.
The difference anyway? It comes during a timeout, a commercial timeout, right? And so it's something that all you do is you stand there and wave to the crowd anyway. You don't have to be playing or not. It's the exact same moment. Oh, God, what a baby.
Don't worry, they'll play it February 14th when he's a member of the Clippers here at the Garden.
But again, it does. You don't have to play there or not. And what, your kid has to be there to see you get applauded again for the upteenth time? Oh, my God.
Are they doing a Jay Crowder video? Is he getting video?
All right, so those are our thoughts on that. We'll get yours.
Of him bricking a three.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet.
From 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Well, first of all, that happens because we retire every single number in the Raptors. So that's why players want to do that. Mikey, Murray, I want to win. We lost to the Wizards at home. If we lose to Cleveland twice, I don't care how many West teams we beat. We need to be the East because that's how, you know, and if they, it's nothing. I don't want to compete. I want to beat them. That's all I want to do.
I'm with
you.
Yes, I think it matters in terms of you and Cleveland.
No, I want them to win. But if they lose by a point or two tonight and it's a really competitive close game, I'll certainly feel better about their chances of a series with them in the Eastern Conference Finals, even if they lose tonight. I was happy with the way that they played the first game after Hayward gets hurt. It looked like it was going to be a blowout, that they were actually able to get that together and have a competitive game in that one.
They showed a lot. You got to win. I'm sorry, you got to win.
I'll tell you, on some level, I wouldn't mind seeing them actually stink. You know, and I know it's a different team, but they get their asses kicked in the postseason. They really did. Like, it'd just be nice if they could flip it around, and I'm not saying you're going to get the same kind of beating, but you know what? How about, like, a good 15-point home win? Like, that to me would be really say something.
Joe in Dorchester. Joe, are you there?
Joe!
Hello?
Yes, Joe, you're on the air. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah, I totally disagree with y'all. I understand what y'all are saying, that he's only been 2 years and a half, but he totally changed the Boston Celtics culture. Like, without him, we won't have Al Horford. Without him, we won't have Gordon Hayward, like, to score. Without him, we won't even get Kyrie Irving, because the way he played, like, when we traded for him, we didn't know how good this kid was.
Okay, Joe, I actually agree with you. I agree with that.
It helped get Al Horford here. Gordon Hayward.
Well, no. I mean, Isaiah helped get you Horford. That helped get you Hayward. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think you can give Isaiah.
Hayward's here because of the coach.
You can give Isaiah. I mean, that's a good point. You can give the coach and Horford. I mean, what if, would Gordon Hayward come here if they were, you know.
As long as it was Brad Stevens, Gordon Hayward was coming
here. You
think so? Yeah, he picked him up at the airport in his Prius.
I'm with Murray on this.
If they were 36 and 42 or whatever, you think he'd still be here?
No, but it wasn't because of Isaiah. I mean, you could plug in any player for Isaiah who was half decent.
I think the ball got rolling. It became a destination because you became a winner, and Isaiah was the number one reason. Not Brad. Isaiah was the number one reason. But that's not the point. The opposing player doesn't get to dictate what you put on your scoreboard. That's the point. We can debate whether it started with Isaiah or not. I think it did. And I think what the caller said is fair. But you still don't... That guy doesn't get to tell you what music to play between timeouts. That's not the way that it works.
Especially when he's on the team that you're trying to get over.
Oh, it's preposterous.
In your conference.
It's I look at the Celtics more than I look at Isaiah.
Like they shouldn't. They're definitely doing this because of residual, you know, the residual after effect of guilt, and that bugs me.
Yeah, there's some of that. But you know, the other thing too is I'm just getting sick of Isaiah. I'm with Gorman on this one. I mean, this thing's been going on for how long? They traded him how many months ago? They traded him.
It's been 7 months.
Like we're still talking about this.
So Gorman, a good discuss level from Mike Gorman this morning on Toucher and Rich on this topic.
It was a great 2.5 years. Take nothing away from the kid's performance. He was unlike almost anybody we had ever seen, especially in the fourth quarter of games last year. He had a remarkable run, but it was 1 year. And again, you're talking about probably the most talked about franchise in history of almost any sports, right there with the Yankees, I guess, in baseball. But I'm just tired of it. I mean, I enjoyed watching him play last night. I was happy for him that he was able to come out and play at a high level because I wasn't really sure of that. He'd been away for so long, but he didn't seem to miss much of a beat in the 19 minutes he played last night. And I'm glad he's going to be good, and I hope it's the Eastern Conference Finals and he and Kyrie are looking at each other eye to eye. But that doesn't change anything that's happened in the past. Certainly doesn't change any deals that would have been made differently. And as far as this whole kind of betrayal act that he has, he was betrayed by the Celtics. This is a business, son.
Okay, it's a business, son. And that, you know, again, for Mike Gorman. I'll just call him out, Mike, a little bit on this. The first part about it was only 1 year and in the storied franchise. So where was his commentary last year, Mike? I mean, this is something the team broadcaster would never, ever say when the guy's on the team, even though it's totally true. Okay, so this has nothing to do with the Diva Act. This has nothing to do with anything else. This is what was Isaiah Thomas as a player here? Now Mike Gorman is going to say, well, it was only 1 year, and in the storied franchise history, it's really not much. And it was 2.5 years, but it was only one good one. Like, Mike, come on. Try and keep it real a little bit. I'd have a much more respect for that commentary if you gave it to me while Isaiah was here, which you can't do, and we all know you can't do. And I wouldn't expect you to do it. You work for the team. But then the guy leaves and you dump on his resume here? Like that's beneath Mike Gorman, who is impeccable. And I think he's the best guy at what he does in this town. And I love Mike Gorman. But come on. You want to give me your straight shot on the Diva Act? We all agree with you. Isaiah's carrying on like a diva. But now to go back and dump on his resume, which you would never do in a million years if he were still here. Come on.
Okay, I'm not surprised by it, though. Are you?
No.
Every play-by-play guy does it. Or every guy, you know, every beat guy does it.
No, it's true. But I just can't let it go. Like, I mean, that's too obvious to me.
Yeah, I look at the whole thing and I say, it was seven. How long are we going to have to live this thing? I'm still watching video of Isaiah walking down a hallway with someone holding the camera in his face like it's a documentary. Isaiah, jilted by the Celtics, makes his return to Boston, even though he'll be sitting on the bench. Like, I just look at him and go, would you get over yourself, please? You're a nice player. You were here for a cup of coffee. You left a nice tip. See you later. Bye. Bye. We got a guy who's better than you. Bye.
The point is, what aggravates me is that we all said that about we on this show, right? Said this about Isaiah when he was here. Mike Gorman and everybody else were telling us that he's an MVP. So, like, don't come back now just because he's on another, you know, wearing another uniform and tell me he wasn't what you were telling me for the 3 years he was here. It's not fair. Like, come on, that's not right. But you're right. That would happen with a lot of these guys.
I liked him a lot when he was here, Isaiah. I did. I told you that. I said, I don't know that I'll like Kyrie as much as I liked Isaiah. He was an easy guy to root for. Somehow, he's worn that away.
Because you're seeing his true colors.
It's just, I've looked at it now and said, good God already. Like, enough.
Well, he did it when he was here, too.
I know, but it was different.
No, because it was just in our uniform. We'll play you a string of quotes. Jimmy put something together. We'll do that in about 20 minutes.
Oh, there's so much fun to do.
You'll hear some of Isaiah's greatest hits when he was here. He was every bit the Dinkosaurus here as he is in Cleveland. Every bit, but you loved him. And Mike Gorman wouldn't call him out for these comments, but now we can.
He was the king of the fourth, you see.
So it's this whole thing that sort of just drives me crazy. The hometown announcing, you know, I mean, it's just,
your people, Michael.
Hard for me to swallow. But Mike Gorman is the best.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Near point, out of the high slot. Bailey near circle. Pullock shoots, blocked by Miller. And Achari raked it out to center ice. Fired. They score into the empty net. Noel Achari with his goal in his third consecutive game. Halak had left the cage. Wally had the extra man. This will be an even strength. Empty netter and the Bruins with a 5-1 lead.
Decent team, the Islanders. Playoff team, playoff bubble team, have been the last several years in that Metropolitan Division. Good team. They went. Do you watch it? Do you see any of this?
Last night? Oh yeah, they dominated. I thought they competed. They totally outcompeted the Islanders from beginning to end.
Like, it's getting to the point where what is up with this Bruins team? Like, they are relentless. There was, if you watch the game,
the fourth line in particular, yeah.
Oh, so look, I think the tone has been set on this team by those bottom six forwards, which you just wouldn't. I would never expect. You know, if you tell me that you get guys like Nash and Heinen and Schaller and Corrali and Achari and those guys are going to be leading you, I'd be like, you probably suck. So I would never. This is something I could never have predicted. But and then Backes is in that group too. Those bottom six forwards are relentless. Relentless. And if you watch this, particularly there was basically the whole second period. The whole second period was in the Islanders' end. Mm-hmm. It was like just all over them. All over them. The Islanders couldn't get out of the zone. And you only scored one goal in the whole thing. It's like you were scoring, but just completely dominated that team. It's 5-1 sounds like you dominated. You dominated. I don't even know what the shots were. But you dominated that team, and you dominated that game. I had last night as a loss. Because it's like, you come out of December, you're maybe the best team in the league in December. So, you know, you have a good month, you have a bad month. And, I don't know, just you're at the Islanders on a straight Tuesday night, and it's like, okay, you're going to start to give some of these back. You're going to start to, water's going to seek its level. And they went out last night, and it was just, it was met against boys. So, like, this team, I don't know where to go with this team. Like, I can't buy in.
It's stunning.
I can't fully buy in when you just go through the amount of kids. And it's not like they're superstar kids, you know? Like, Danton Heinen is great on that third line with Riley Nash and David Backes. It's like, we're not talking about, like, you know, maybe Heinen will get Rookie of the Year consideration, but it's not like he's putting up these massive numbers or these eye-popping highlights or anything. But
solid player.
Oh, my God.
But with those bottom forwards, it looks like it's not just toughness and hustle and body checks. Like, there's skill there. Mm. And Backes looks good.
So, I mean, look, Backes looks like the St. Louis Backes, which is good. And I think Heinen has some skill. That fourth line, Corrali, Achari, they're plumbers. But
they fight, though, man.
My God.
They battle for the puck like you would not believe.
They are tenacious. And this is a fourth line that I can get behind because it's young. And it's fast, and it's not just a coach coddling his veterans like Claude did with that fourth line, which was, all due respect, was great too. And, you know, won a lot for you and was important. But this is a totally different kind of fourth line. These are kids. And
how many penalties did they draw last night, that line?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
I think it was three or four or close to it.
But that line is this Achari lights people up. Like, he runs around. And just, so he's the perfect sort of crash line kind of player. I don't mean to go on and on about the fourth effing line, but if you watch them, like, those two lines have been
They're
dominant.
Running people over. It's great.
Yeah, I liked him from the moment they brought him up. I mean, he does. He runs around like a lunatic out there. He's hard not to like. And the other two guys are playing well, too. Schaller and Corrali. I look at the whole thing, and to me, a bunch of things stand out. One is the puck battle. Like, you know, the fight for the puck. That line in particular,
oh,
they win, everyone. It's unbelievable. At least they did last night. It's insane. And the other thing is, the defense in front of their own net has improved by leaps and bounds. They are so much better now at, you know, closing up the area in front of the net. You can't get in there anymore like you used to.
So when I look at if the bottom six is going to be that, okay, which I would never have predicted, and let's face it, can that possibly hold all year? I can't fathom that it would. So, you know, I'm not even going to predict that they're going to be this good the rest of the year. But that bottom six being what it is, your first line is terrific, and they haven't even been scoring. But when they get their little offensive swerve on, you know, Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand, and they did last night, that's a legit elite NHL first line. The real only gap there is the second line between Krejci's health and who's he going to play with. DeBrusk, Spooner's been playing on the right side, Bjork's been benched, but, you know, like, so there's a hole there on the second line, starting with Krejci and his health.
Even Spooner's been playing decent.
So, and that I'm not going to count on. So, like, I think the second line is still a legit sort of concern. But the first line is the first line, as good as any team's going to throw out there. You know, top five first line in the league. The bottom six has been, it almost led you. Their defense has been excellent. You know, even a guy like Brandon Carlo. You see the first goal they allowed?
I did not see that goal.
Carlo goes at, Bergeron wins a, get this stat.
I know the stat you're going to give. I was going to give it to you, but you already know.
So Bergeron wins the defensive zone faceoff, as usual. Back to Carlo. And Carlo, for no reason, falls ass over tea kettle. Falls over himself. Leaves a puck sitting right in front of the net. Eberle picks it up and beats Rask and scores. That was the first.
Hold on. Murray, have you heard this stat?
I have not, no.
Okay, listen closely. This is unbelievable. This is the season's half over, Murray. Half over. Go ahead, Murray.
That was the first even-strength goal allowed by the Marchand-Bergeron-Pasternak line all season long.
It's the first 5-on-5 goal that those guys have allowed.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable? Now, again, that's with those three playing together. There have been different lines.
Yeah, but how many shifts is that?
I don't know the number. Are you? I don't understand your point.
I'm dumping on the stat because I feel like that's a recent line change.
You know, it's been that's been the line for
it's at least a quarter of the season.
No, but I'd say of the games in the I think that's been the combination for 75% of the season so far. That's not a recent line, Jimmy. They've been there for a while. But either way,
still impressive.
I don't know. They haven't been scored on 5-on-5. They're on the ice all the time.
And when I say a quarter of the season, I mean the quarter of the 82, half of their existing games they've played with that line.
You look at the standings. They are now
head of Toronto, right?
They are now third place in the conference. They're now third in the conference.
With games in hand.
They are third in the conference with games in hand. If you go by winning percentage, they might be the second team in the East right now. It might be Tampa than them.
I think it is.
If you go by points percentage or winning percentage, it's close. They are now,
I'm telling you, it's unreal.
They are now 14 points ahead of Montreal with two games in hand. Which scares the crap out of me because they could blow that. Like, I still feel like if Claude and the Canadiens catch you now, oh my God. Talk about never being able to recover from that. But they're 14 points ahead of Montreal with two games in hand. They're the closest team to them for the division playoff spot is Florida, which is 11 points behind with you having a game in hand. Just like you have a commanding spot for the playoffs now. And it's not just empty, but if you watch them, they went into it and played a good, not great team last night and freaking dominated, imposed their will. They're like, I don't know what to do with this team. I don't know what, like, I don't know.
Well, you got to be happy you got a hockey season.
I'm thrilled. It's amazing.
I was trying to tell you this yesterday. They're a better story than the Celtics right now. Right now, they're the best story in town.
Okay, so anyway, there's your Bruins Minute. Very positive Bruins Minute, but I don't know where else to go with that. I don't know where else to go.
And it's not just that they're winning games. Some of these games, they're ass-kicking opponents. They're just steamrolling people.
They kicked that team's ass last night.
They totally did.
The last one in Ottawa?
The same thing. 5-0.
Killed them.
5-0!
So, I don't know. What? Where are the Bruins, and what have you done with them? Like, what? This, I can't wrap my head around this.
Who are these guys wearing the jerseys?
Seriously.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Blood force drive! It'll run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They say he's being a dink now. I'm sorry, he was a dink here. But you forgave him all those things. Back up the Brinks truck. Remember the game where he only played 27 minutes and didn't play much in the second half? He said, we gave up?
Sure.
I only played 27 minutes. We played that as well. Throws Jay Crowder under the bus for a late game situation. I don't remember what it is. Is that a podcast with Bill Simmons where Simmons asked him the best coach he's ever played for and he grudgingly won't even really say Brad? It's like, yeah, well, he's giving me the keys to do, you know, turn it into a thing about him. You know, I'm a Max guy, all of this. So he was doing roughly the same stuff here. Where was all the critical commentary of him when he was here? So this is the sort of part that crawls up my keister a little bit.
Okay, but don't you think that this thing's a little different? Like, all of a sudden they trade him and it's like, you know, the documentaries are coming out. Like, the whole thing now is like...
It's a little bit next level, but he's had the diva thing from day one.
Sure. Yeah, but again, I sort of, you know, I still admire the fact that he's able to excel in that league the way he is.
Of course.
I'm just telling you that the all right, you got traded. We got it. Got it. I'm aware of the trade. I'm aware of it. Thank you. Got it. Move on.
This isn't the end, because he's not going to play tonight, so we got to deal with this for another month until the next time he's here. And depending how he plays in that game, we'll get more. I mean, if he goes off, you know he's going to immediately take to social media, Twitter, Instagram, be like, you know, it was a great night for the fans, but I told, you know, in some way, shape, or form, it's going to be an FU to Danny.
Okay,
we're getting more of this.
Okay, back to your phones on all of this. Here's Winston in Duxbury. Go, Winston.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good. What do you got?
Good. Well, first thing I want to say, you've been talking so much about Isaiah. I don't really want to talk about him that much more, but he lacks a lot of awareness. I think that's very clear in this whole situation. You know, a player, he's a nice player and everything, but totally undersized, is never an actual max guy, was never a guy that I think we should have ever given a max deal to, so I think we lucked out. I have a quick thought on the Red Sox, just to kind of...
quickly.
Things to, quickly, all right. So the Red Sox, the Liverpool, just bought a player for $96 million. He's like a second-rate defender. So $96 million there. Their 2016 transfers now reach $205 million, and their 2016 wage bill is $282 million. So about $500 million this year. And the saying is always, you know, follow the money, and that's what I'm kind of saying about.
So Winston, thank you for the call. Just let me stop you, because I've tried to track this over the years. When he spends on the racing team, does he spend on the Red Sox? When he spends on the soccer team, does he spend on the Red Sox? When he spends on the Red Sox, does he not spend on the soccer team? It's been hard. I don't think there's been any pattern. So, like, I've sort of stopped trying to track this, because while I ultimately think it does impact the other, it hasn't really played out that way in practicality. In other words, they're not signing Giancarlo Stanton because they paid for some defender on Liverpool.
No, I don't think that's it either. I think it's a philosophical thing about the contract.
Right.
And I think it's dumb. Just my two cents. I mean, to me, I'd rather have Giancarlo Stanton for 10 years than JD Martinez for 5. Just my two cents.
All this Isaiah stuff, too short, not a max guy. Where was this last year, people? Alan in Fall River on Garoppolo. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, how you doing, Greg? First time call, long time listener. Love the show.
Thank you.
The Garoppolo Brady questions that I have, everybody's been on, whether it's Kraft or Belichick's decision. The way I look at it, I've been a Pats fan for my lifetime, which I'm 46. I was there when they were a terrible team. We've been spoiled, obviously, over the last decade and a half. My thing is, we still can win possibly 2, maybe even 3 Super Bowls with Tom Brady. We don't know if Garoppolo is going to be as good as Tom Brady. Do I think he's a great player? 100%.
Okay, so let me cut you off, and thank you for the call again. So this is why I sort of break from Maz, because Maz sort of portrays it like they just sort of did it out of loyalty because he's a name, when the fact is Brady's still the best quarterback in the league, and he will be for the next couple of years, or he'll be in that conversation, right?
Okay, so again, it's that second part. You're predicting that.
Yes, I think he's going to be a top. I think he's going to be a top two quarter. He's a top two quarterback now. He'll be a top three quarterback next year, and not out of the top 5 even the year after that.
Okay, so you're saying that like it's a fact, so you can see into the future now.
No, it's just what I believe.
Okay, so I'm not sure he's going to be a top 3 quarterback next year. I'm not sure he's going to be a top 5. I have felt this way now. When you get to this age, you go year to year. I mean, I was ready to write off Drew Brees a year ago.
But the point is, he's not a has-been. You know,
No, he's not a has-been. He's not a has-been. I'm not telling you he was a has-been. I'm just telling you that I think that historically, the Patriots, the way they operate, is they plan for the long term. Okay? And in this, I just find it stunning on some level that they would get to the most important position on the field and not adhere to the same principle.
They made an exception in this case. Let me ask you this. Take players out of it. Just let me ask you this question. Would you rather have a champion? So we're looking at a 1 year and a 10 year sample. Would you rather have a championship next year and then suck for 10? Or would you rather be really good for the next 10, but probably not win a championship?
No, I want the championship.
And then suck for a decade?
Yeah.
I'll take the next 10.
Right? So would you rather be 11-5 every year for 10 years?
And he's Tony Romo? I'll take the championship, thanks.
Again, no, here's the equation. For the next decade, you can be 11-5 and be a playoff team, but no championship. Or you win the championship next year, and then for the next 10, you suck.
If this were 2001, I might feel differently. But the fact is, and I can't ignore this, They've won five. They've won five. I'll take the next 10 years. I will. I'll tell you. And I'm not telling you I devalue the championship. I also don't think it's a totally fair question.
It's not.
Because I think they have. I think they have a chance of winning with Garoppolo.
I do too.
So, like, I look at it and say, you still get the coach.
I'm just saying it's just a way to, and it's purposely exaggerated to just sort of,
sure,
philosophically.
Well, I think it's a way that shows where your allegiances are. And for mine, I'm with Brady. I'm a Brady guy. I always will be. I think most of the region is that way. I think most of the region would take the ring over Garoppolo.
I think that's easy to say because you think that, you know, you now think 12-4 is a birthright. Like, it's easy. I don't know. Try going 6-10 three straight years. You know, you have... You know, there are millions of people who are listening to us right now who have no idea what that's like. Guys of our age do, but I'll tell you, if you're 30 or younger, so think of this. If you're 30 or younger, the last time the Patriots sucked, you were 10 years old. So which doesn't really count. It's not like you had to live through bad football. Your entire life, if you're 30, if your entire life... You think 12-4 is easy. You think 12-4 just falls out of the sky. These, you know how many people have no idea what 6-10 tastes like?
6-10? How about 1-15?
Okay, so that's even being more dramatic. Like, but just being a run-of-the-mill, crap-bag NFL team. You have no conception what that's like.
No, they have no clue. They have no clue. And I'm telling you, and the other thing is, we've had this discussion, albeit not about the Patriots. Okay, because I used to be championship. I don't care how many bad years you have after you take the championship, because you don't have many chances at those. And then we had the 2013 Red Sox. And then I had to have three last place finishes around it. And I thought, never again will I make that decision. It wasn't worth it. It was not worth it. Not with that sad-ass group. And so I would rather have the 10 good years.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.